Speaking of Sydney, we have a premiership player on the line, Alex Johnson, who's strolling around the house, I believe, a former Sydney premiership player and also a very talented footballer in his own right these days as well at VFL level, although it is going through a few issues. We'll talk to him about that. Alex, welcome to Fox Footy Live.
Thanks for having me, guys.
The Sydney Swans versus Essendon. What are your memories of playing against the Bombers?
I think the most memorable game was probably when we just got out of the line at Etihad, as it was back then, now Marvel. I think Courtney Dempsey marked the ball about 55 out, played on, and the siren went, and we got over the line by 3 or 4 points. So that was probably one of the greater games. And then I think against them, similarly at Etihad, Goodsy had a shot after the siren and just missed. So yeah, we definitely had some close encounters with them.
Correct me if I'm wrong, was there also a game last year or the year before Goddard played on out of fullback, got it smothered?
That's right.
And then there was a mark in the goal and square. Gary, were you part of that game? Yeah, the Gary Rowell mark, that's the one.
Yeah, I wasn't. I was obviously in the stands watching, but yeah, that's right. Goddard played on, I think. Little Tommy Papley, one of the smaller blokes on the ground, managed to smother the ball and yeah, ended up in Gary Rowell's hands a little bit later, and he sealed the win.
And Dane Rampey climbing up a post as well last year. There's been a few moments
since that the Essendon game.
It was
the Essendon game. Yeah,
what was Dane thinking? What was Dane? You know him well. What was he thinking that day, Jono?
It's a great question. I'm not sure what Dane thinks majority of the time. So at that time, it was definitely a brain fade. I think he recalls.
The most famous Essendon-Sydney game, of course, the 1996 prelim. So let's wait and see if that'll be played tonight. But where were you? Can you remember watching that as a kid, Jono?
I definitely would have watched it. I think I watched a lot of footy growing up, and obviously towards the pointy end of the season, at the end of September, took a pretty keen interest. I was a Melbourne supporter growing up, so I didn't have too much time watching them in September. But yeah, was a keen finals footy watcher and. Just a massive footy fan, I suppose.
And tell us what you're up to now. We obviously know about your football career, how it was cut short at different stages. What are you up to these days?
Yeah, not too much, really. I took as you said, my footy career was cut short against Melbourne in 2018 and spent last year rehabbing a knee for the first half of the year and then playing in the VFL, which was great fun to get back and play 10 games for the Northern Blues, which Tom touched on before that, unfortunately the news came through yesterday that they've folded and it's the end of their 138 year history. So that's really disappointing. But I'm not sure. It's a weird time for everyone at the moment. Me and my brother are in the process of opening a little cafe, a sandwich shop. So that's been put on hold for a couple of months. But yeah, we'll look to go ahead with that once all this is over.
Alex, if you don't mind, I'd like to delve a little bit deeper into the VFL because this could easily happen at other clubs as well. And it is expensive having an affiliate club if you're an AFL club and also probably a standalone team as well. The VFL is expensive. When were you told? How were you told? And what was the reaction from the boys?
I was told yesterday. I found out sort of similarly to a lot of people. I think it's the nature of it. It's been there's been a lot of pressure on the AFL in the last couple of weeks, during this pandemic, and it's a lot of unknown. I mean, that's the sort of scary thing about it. No one really knows what's going to happen or what's going to go on. And I think the decision was made yesterday that Carlton and the Northern Blues had part ways, and therefore Northern Blues can't stand on their own. So it's really disappointing. I mean, I've only been there for a matter of 18 months, but the affiliation I've got with the boys and the people involved in the footy club, I'm devastated that it's all over. But in terms of what the future holds, I'm not sure really. So I'll see. I'll let that all unfold over the next few months.
So many people are in similar situations in regards to not knowing what the future holds, even VFL, local football, as it filters down to the younger ages. You still have the desire to ultimately rehab and get back to play some form of high-level football, and whether that's a VFL or the equivalent, that's still something that you're really keen on?
Yeah, definitely. I think coming out of the AFL system, just after playing, the one game against Collingwood and then a game against or a quarter against Melbourne and going down, I had that desire to get back and play footy at the highest level I could, and whether that was make it back to the AFL, that'd be great. But yeah, it obviously looks, really more and more unlikely as time goes on, and I definitely would love to get back and play VFL or whatever level of footy I can play at the highest level. And my body finally feels good. I've had a full pre-season for the first time in probably 6 or 7 years, so. We'll see if that happens this year. If it doesn't, I'll see where I'm placed in, 6-9 months' time.
And you're probably as well equipped as anybody to speak about the Sydney Swans. And, we sit on the outside and try and analyse every club and try and get a read on their list and how they're all going to come together. What's your take on the Swans? And I know we only saw that one game last weekend, but a little bit broader than that. Where do you see the Swans at, in their growth and in their stage?
Yeah, I think it's no secret that they're in a bit of a rebuilding phase. I know that's a bit of a buzzword, and they probably don't like, not many footy clubs like using that. But you look at the age demographic of the group has changed so much over the last few years, and the amount of players that have come in and out. It's the nature of the game, I suppose. So successful for such a long period of time, and then obviously to miss finals and those types of things. And I mean, whether there's a season this year or what the season actually looks like, it'll be interesting to see how they go. But I think they've still got a really good caliber of players, and you know, they've definitely got the right things in place to be, you know, ultimately successful.
How many more years has Buddy got left in him? And let's say they do play some form of football, and he was one of the players that clearly missed out on round one, so he'll be ready for round two, fingers crossed, and all going well. How many more years has Bud got at AFL level?
I think you can't put a limit on him. He's an absolute freak of nature, the way he goes about it. The ability he has to get up and play each week, I mean, it's pretty well documented that he doesn't do overly much training throughout the year and just looks after his body. But the fact that he's able to do that and still have such an impact on the game is unbelievable. And, I think he's got a few years. I think he was going really well in terms of the pre-season up until he had the knee issue, which required surgery. But, yeah, I'd say he's got a few years left. And as you said, he'll be ready for round two, you know, whenever that does come.
Brownie, if he takes a pay cut, he might be on about 1.1 now. Buddy.
Yeah, that'll be right.
And that's 71%, is it?
Hey, before we let you go, John, what are you doing to keep fit? You out in the backyard? They got makeshift weights? You got a few Besser blocks out there? What's happening?
Yeah, absolutely. I spent a lot of time not being able to run and train and those types of things back when I was with Sydney. So, yeah, I'll still get out and run and got some weights and those types of things in the backyard. But, it is a weird time sort of having gyms closed and those types of things. But you can definitely stay active and keep fit, and make do with what you've got.
And what's this about you climbing Mount Kilimanjaro last November with Campbell Brown? Tell us about that.
Yes.
Yeah, it was I was an interesting one. Me and Brownie have got to know each other over the years. He asked me if I wanted to do it midway through last year, and I sort of accepted without fully thinking about it, I think. But it's one of the greatest experiences I've ever had. I've never done anything like it, and we did it in the off-peak season in Africa, and so it rained every day and it snowed when we summited. But, yeah, it was definitely interesting sharing a tent for 7 days with Campbell Brown up halfway up a mountain was very interesting. But, no, I loved it. It was unbelievable, and I couldn't recommend it, you know, any more highly for people to try and do it. It's definitely one of the hardest things, both physically and mentally, but well worth it in the end.
Did he tell you the story about how he tried to sell a horse to he sold a horse to the Queen, and the Queen tried to short sell him a little bit, just tried to get the number down a little bit. Did he tell you that story?
Oh, he told me a lot of stories over the day. I'm just not sure which ones are made up and which aren't.
Were you better mates with him at the end or at the start?
Yeah, it's a very good question. No, I'd say we came through it really well, and if I wasn't there, I don't think he would have been able to get up the mountain, and vice versa. I think we really helped each other to get up there, and it was, as I said, it was a great experience. A lot of laughs had along the way, and yeah, it's something that we'll be able to share, you know, the memories of it for a long time to come.
Well done, Jono. Well, I think he might have sold the horse to the Queen, but she can't throw a foal, so he might have got the win over the Queen in the end. So the Queen's hunting him down, I think, for selling him a dud.
I'll just see you in a tent with Campbell Brown for a few days, Brownie. Hey, Alex, we really appreciate your time. We know it's not easy at the moment, but we look forward to seeing you back out on the field pretty soon, wherever that is, and good luck for the cafe as well.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you very much for that. Thanks for having me.
Alex Johnson, 2012 Premiership player with the Swans. Really good of him to come on because it's not an easy time. John Ralph wrote a good story with Josh Fraser, who's the Northern Blues captain today in the Herald Sun. And for Alex to come on at a time when he doesn't know when he's going to be playing his next game of football and for who, it's a really difficult task.